There is a war on America as founded, and we're going to talk about that right now with Dr. Paul Kanger, who's a best-selling author of all kinds of historical books, books related to American history, but also books related to communist history. I'm Jerry Newcomb. This is Vocal Point. And, Paul, it's great to have you back on the program. Thank you for joining us.
Always good to be with you, Jerry. Thanks.
Sure. Now, in 1963, the Congressional Record included a list of communist goals, and I believe the ultimate source on this would be an author named Skousen writing in 1958. But a lot of these goals, you look at them and it's like, whoa, okay, eliminate school prayer. Oh, that's interesting. Discredit the American Constitution. Discredit the American Founding Fathers. And it's like, whoa, a lot of this stuff has happened, and we do see this Marxist war on America as founded. First, how about an overview on these communist goals and, you know, your understanding of it, especially because you yourself, you're the only person I know, Paul, that actually read the Soviet documents once they were released, you know, many years ago after the collapse of the Soviet Union.
Yeah, it's very ironic that you say this, Jerry, because I have open right in front of me, and I was coincidentally opening these, the National Security Decision Directives for the Reagan administration in the 1980s, the ones that were aimed at taking down the Soviet Union. And I'm doing some research today through Reagan Library documents. I was looking at Richard Pipes, who was the great Russian Sovietologist at Harvard. He was Polish, actually. And he worked for the Reagan National Security Council. I was just looking through his files, his papers at the Reagan Library. So yeah, I've seen these documents, I've seen these materials, and it never ceases to just amaze and shock what communists were up to, whether in the Soviet Union, whether in the United States. And Skousen is one of those individuals that if you look him up, you Google him, you'll find people on the left attacking him and questioning his credibility and so forth. And, you know, where exactly did he get this? Where did he get that? But indeed, those were read into the congressional record. And there's certainly a lot of validity to a lot of those claims and to a lot of the goals that American communists around the world had. And in fact, if you want to see something really shocking, forget about Skousen, forget about the congressional record, just read the Communist Manifesto, right? Yeah. I mean, Marx talks about abolition of the family, abolition of all private property, abolition of all morality and religion, abolition of all right of inheritance, on and on and on and on. So if you want to see something really shocking, you know, just read what the communists themselves write. That in itself is bad enough.
Yeah. Well, let me just read some of these goals as found in the, again, the Congressional Record 1963. In fact, I'll put a link to it on this. Get control of the schools. Use them as transmission belts for socialism and current communist propaganda. Discredit the American Constitution by calling it inadequate, old-fashioned, out of step with modern needs, a hindrance to cooperation between nations on a worldwide basis. Discredit the American Founding Fathers. Present them as selfish aristocrats who had no concern for the common man, belittle all forms of American culture, and discourage the teaching of American history. And I could go on and on, but I mean, just even as you and I are recording this conversation, discredit the American Founding Fathers. The people in New York City and the city council are having debates about tearing down or removing the statue of Thomas Jefferson, which has been in the New York City Hall since 1833. Why this war on the American Founding Fathers? Let's start with that particular one.
Yeah, well, and actually, before I hit that, let's revisit the very first one on your list. What was it about education?
Get control of the schools. Use them as transmission belts for socialism and current communist propaganda.
Yeah, and that's exactly right. And look, point 10 in the 10-point plan of Marx and Engels in the Communist Manifesto, which was published in 1848, called for, quote, free education for all children in public schools, unquote. So it actually says that. It actually says that in the Communist Manifesto, and it says that verbatim. That's the totality of what it says, point 10, quote, free education for all children in public schools, unquote. And the communists in the Soviet Union, around the world, Soviet Union, whenever they took over Bolshevik Russia in 1917, First thing that they did was they eliminated all home education, all religious education. Mm-hmm. In fact, Marx and Engels also said in the Communist Manifesto that quote, we will replace home education by social education. And Marx sniffed at what he called the bourgeois claptrap about this hallowed correlation between parent and child. So the idea was to nationalize the schools, get children away from their parents and religious people educating them, and doing it in strictly secular government-run schools, which pushed and preached communism as indeed like transmission belts for communist propaganda. So you know what Skousen is saying there was absolutely spot on. It's completely 100% in line, not only with Marxist-Leninist theory, but in actual practice as well. So this actually took place.
Isn't it interesting too when you think about some of the debates going on in some of the school boards, like Loudoun County School Board in Virginia and so forth? There are these controversies, and basically it's like the school boards are acting as if the school authorities are acting as if they know better than the parents as to what should be taught, and that they should have the complete responsibility of what the children learn. You pointed out that
and that's nothing new.
Yeah, that's nothing new.
The parents are considered, you know, it's considered bourgeois claptrap, and Marx called them the lumpen proletariat. Right, he had this very demeaning view of parents. It's funny they claim to be champions of the masses, right, and of the proletariat and the working man. But in truth, you know, these Marxist leaders, officials, theorists, academics, they're total elite snobs. They never trust the common man. They never trust the masses, right? So you and I have talked about this before, that you want to see greed. Just go to Marxist countries and see how 1% of these countries, all the wealth is controlled by the Marxist leaders, and then everybody else is equally poor. So that in reality is how it plays out.
All right, discredit the American Constitution. Let's focus on that, because I don't know if you saw this, but just about a month ago, Campus Reform went to one of our schools. It was actually the University of Florida in Gainesville, and they were talking to these students, and they were just basically asking, what do you think about the Constitution? And most of the students were saying, oh, it's terrible, it's out of date, you know, da-da-da-da. And she was even having them sign petitions, a petition to abolish the Constitution, the very document
Amazing.
Which gave them the free speech to, you know, espouse and, you know, to sound off on these crazy ideas.
Yeah, and that's what Lenin would have called useful idiots, right? And they, in fact, one of the most notorious communist front groups in the United States in the 1930s, they called themselves the Committee for the First Amendment. And this is the group that organized the Hollywood 10, the members of the Progressive Citizens of America Council, HICAPS, which was one of these groups. And they would take actors, actresses, Humphrey Bogart, Lauren Bacall, Gene Kelly, Judy Garland. They would take these actors and actresses, and they would convince them that they were all about the First Amendment, right? They just loved the Constitution. But in fact, what they were quite literally dedicated to was the Soviet Constitution. And they swore an actual loyalty oath to the Soviet Union. In fact, I know it off the top of my head. It was the CPUSA, Communist Party USA, membership pledge in the 1930s. I swear at all times to remain a defender of the Leninist line of the party, the only line that ensures the triumph of Soviet power inside the United States, unquote. So they wanted to create what Langston used, who's now required reading in the United States, where he's portrayed as this great civil rights poet, what Langston Hughes called a USSA. He said, when we take over, the USA will be the USSA. put one more S in the USA to make it Soviet. What William Z. Foster and Earl Browder called a Soviet America. So the United States would be part of this global Soviet republic. That was the goal. So the first thing that they would do would be take the U.S. Constitution apart. You know, that wasn't about to survive. It was completely antithetical to communism and communist philosophy. So, you know, this too, unfortunately, is nothing new, but our young people know none of it because they're being terribly miseducated by these horrible public schools and universities.
Well, this is so fascinating. By the way, Humphrey Bogart, I understand that once his eyes were open as to what this organization was all about, he wanted nothing to do with it. And same with Lauren Bacall, correct? I think I read that in your book, Dupes.
Yeah. Well, you got a great memory. Yeah, I have in Dupes, I have a chapter on the Hollywood front, on Bacall and Bogart. And I even have an appendix regarding a Bogart who I found in the Soviet Comintern files on Communist Party USA, who was attending an American communist-run worker school in New York in the 1930s. And I go over whether or not that Bogart might possibly be Humphrey Bogart. But to Bogart's credit, by the 1950s, toward the end of his life, he didn't live a long time. At that point, he had rejected that stuff, and at one point was even considering voting for Eisenhower. but his liberal wife, Lauren Bacall, who died only recently, I think, Jerry, she wouldn't let him vote for Eisenhower. But he did eventually reject communism and the Soviet Union. So we could at least say that much.
Well, so going back to the big picture here, it's just amazing that the schools today have become so anti-American, and a lot of it, you know, one factor, as an example, is the popularity of Howard Zinn, who wrote a lot of books kind of rewriting American history, but in a very anti-American fashion. I understand he was a member of the Communist Party USA.
That's right. That's right. And my friend Mary Graybar has done great research on him. She's written a whole book on him. And he was pro-communist. So, you know, so that idea that you would be learning the American history and the American founding from a communist is just, it's twisted. It's perverse. You know, and if the man was capable, I suppose, of remarkably objective work, maybe he would be able to pull it off. But if you read Zinn's People's History of the United States and his actual take on this stuff, it all comes from a very left-wing, ideological, hard, far-left perspective.
Would you say that what we're seeing right now with the founding fathers being questioned, you know, statues of George Washington being, you know, torn down, or even Abraham Lincoln, certainly Thomas Jefferson, what would you, you know, say about that in reference to, like, let's say, communist goals as far as American history?
Yeah. Well, it's a great question, and I see it as very Marxist in the strict sense of Karl Marx. Marx called for, quote, the ruthless criticism of everything that exists, unquote. The ruthless criticism of everything that exists. And you and I talked about this when we talked about my book,
The Devil and Karl Marx.
Yeah. And Marx in that book, as I report in that book, Marx had a favorite quote from Goethe's Faust, from the Mephistopheles character, the devil, demon character. And that quote was, everything that exists deserves to perish. Everything that exists deserves to perish. I mean, think about that, Jerry. That was the favorite quote of Marx, right, from the Mephistopheles character. Everything that exists deserves to perish.
Paul, I preached a whole sermon on it, and I gave you credit. I mean, but go on. We have about 20 seconds left.
Sure. So when you see these people tearing down statues and tearing things down, that is very much in keeping with Karl Marx's tear-down philosophy.
Yeah, and so therefore they feel like they need to rewrite American history and tear it all down. Dr. Paul Kanger, thanks so much for being with us. What is it, Faith and Freedom Coalition? No, what is it?
Faithandfreedom.com.
Okay, thanks so much for being with us. All the best.
You take care.
Thanks. Bye-bye.